Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome into the lounge presented by DraftKings. Ravens are coming off a brutal, and I'm talking brutal, this one's going to affect your sleep for a few days, loss to the Dolphins 42-38. Dolphins score 28 points in the fourth quarter, storm back from a 21-point deficit entering the fourth quarter to shock the Ravens at the end. Garrett, speaking of sleep, how well did you sleep after that one?
Well, the only good news on that front is that I don't sleep anyway, you know, because I have a one-month-old baby at home. So my sleep can't get much worse. So this didn't really have any bearing on that. But I'll tell you what it's not. It is not a size them up Monday. It is a disappointing Monday. And we'll try to go through this game and kind of break down what we saw, what went wrong, what went right. And we also have some emails to get through over the course of this show because I think that there's, you know, the listeners, based on some of the emails that came flowing in last night, people want to commiserate together after a loss like that.
Yeah. For sure.
Misery loves company.
After the game, I picked up dinner and a guy came up to me and he asked if I was, are you Garrett from the Ravens? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you just have a minute to talk? I was like,
so you're a therapist.
Exactly. I was like, you just want to commiserate about that game. He's like, yeah, man, I can't believe that. So we talked briefly. And then I had to get back into that 1 month-old baby. But that kind of, I think, sums up the mood after a game like that. Like, you just want to try to figure out what happened, what went wrong. And misery loves company.
Well, one thing wrong with that story also is that you're picking up dinner after a game. Did you not eat enough in the press box? What are you doing?
Well, I always try to that's my first mistake. You know, I always try to limit the press box food because you can go to, I always get the first quarter nachos, as longtime listeners know, but I hesitate on eating too much after that because it just ends up making me, I'll overdo it and I'll feel sick. So I don't eat too much during the game.
You don't go post-game pizza.
Yeah, the post-game pizza is always a terrible idea. Always a terrible idea. Oh.
I needed it after that when I was like, you know what? I know this is a terrible idea, but I deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, when you're eating the post-game pizza, you're like regretting it as you're eating it. You don't even get any satisfaction.
Okay. Well, that game had tons of regrets. It was like misery pizza.
Yeah.
So you just double down on the bad decisions.
So let's start with the defense this week. And you tell me, obviously, the secondary had major issues in the second half, particularly the fourth quarter. What went wrong in the secondary?
Well, I think it was a combination of factors. I mean, one, obviously, being that the Ravens are thin in the secondary, right? So you lose Kyle Fuller in week one for the season. Marlon Humphrey's dealing with a groin issue that popped up midweek. You know, he played only, what was it? How many percent of the snaps here? Let me get it here. Marlon Humphrey played 79% of the snaps. He wasn't in on the field at all for the Dolphins' game-winning drive. So he's, you know, kind of limited, right? Marcus Peters is working his way back into action in his first game back from the knee injury. He played 62% of the snaps. So, you know, you're relying on a couple rookies. Jalen Armour-Davis played 54%. Pepe Williams played 52%. And so I think when you're rolling different guys in there so much, there's a possibility, a higher possibility, certainly, for communication problems. And that's what everybody was kind of pointing to as being the problem on the two long touchdowns to Tyreek Hill. You know, obviously there was the busted one with Armour Davis, where, you know, he was just feet looked like they were in cement. Tyreek Hill just ran right past him, right? And no coverage over the top. So there's obviously a bust on
that
play.
Yeah, like to me, like when I see that play, like I didn't look at that as like, man, this is what it's always difficult sometimes to assess, you know, because you don't know the play call and all that. But
right,
like Jalen Armour Davis didn't even look like he tried to cover Tyreek Hill deep down the field.
Right. It looked like he was like in
zone
coverage.
He was passing him off.
Taking
it was what it looked like to me. Exactly. Now, maybe he made a mistake and he shouldn't have passed him off.
Right.
Or maybe whoever was supposed to have help over the top, one of the safeties, wasn't there for whatever reason. I don't know why, but that to me seemed like some sort of communication breakdown.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I talk about how, you know, you have these rookies that are playing and stuff like that. And none of this is an excuse. That's not an excuse, right? I mean, if you're playing, if you're on the field, 50% of snaps, and you know, you try to like think of all the possible, you know, whys, right? And I even said to Jalen Armour Davis after the game, I was like, well, you know, it's your first game playing in front of this big crowd at M&T Bank Stadium, and it gets loud, and you know, that makes communication more difficult. And he basically was like, you know, I played at Alabama, you know, so it gets a little loud there too when you're on defense. And so like props to him, like there's no excuses. You just can't have that. I don't care if you're a rookie. I don't care if you just got signed off the street 3 days earlier or whatever. You can't have it. But when you have younger players, you probably have a higher likelihood of mistakes like that happening, right? Young rookies make mistakes or whoever, right? Maybe he didn't get the call. I'm not saying it was necessarily even his mistake. I don't know. But all I'm saying is when you're shuffling corners and you go down and you're further down your depth chart, well, the higher likelihood for mistakes there is, right? And so that certainly seemed to be a problem on that. I mean, the other Tyreek Hill long touchdown, part of it is it's Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, he's like one of the fastest players.
You got to tip your hat.
He's one of the fastest players in the league, maybe the fastest player. Yeah.
Right. And so we've seen this story with Tyreek Hill, unfortunately, too many times, right? I mean, the dude is just out of this world. And so he got behind Marcus Peters, who is back from his first game from ACL, and even a fully healthy pre-knee injury Marcus Peters might not be able to keep up with Tyreek Hill on a deep post, right? And especially first game back, shaking off the rust, Marcus Peters was not, right? And he wasn't able to recover and close fast enough, even though that ball kind of floated a little bit. And then the third thing is really, he shouldn't be in that position. Marcus Peters, with that big a lead, the lead that the Ravens had, should not be in that position where you're going one-on-one on a man coverage on Tyreek Hill, trying to keep up with him over the top. Just shouldn't happen, right? Just should not happen. You need to have high safeties in that situation. You need to be saying they're going to have to complete 10 passes down the field to get in this end zone. There's no way we're going to give up bombs to Tyreek Hill, the most explosive player in the game.
Right. I think that's like when you have that 21-point lead in the fourth quarter, you're sitting there. First of all, you're feeling pretty good, especially after that Lamar run. That's what like just totally stings amongst other things about this game. Like after that Lamar run, it was a party at M&T Bank Stadium. Like the MVP chance.
Well, I had my cake. It was definitely a party. I had
We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that a little bit later. But it was a party in there, and you basically, like, if you're going to give up some points to the Dolphins, like you're saying, make him go the long way. Make it be a 7, 8, 10 play drive that takes up six For minutes sure. of clock. The one thing that you couldn't have was quick strike plays. You know, 50-yard, 60-yard bombs to the fastest player in the league. Like, that's the one thing you can't have. And that's what the Ravens gave up twice.
Right.
And so to see that happen was just I was shocked because – you know, we both said that we thought this defense would be a top five defense. It's only the second game. They still could be. But to have a game where you give up six touchdowns to, 400 plus yards and that, you know, that 21 point lead in the fourth quarter is shocking. We got an email. And you guys, if you want to kind of, you know, commiserate with us over the course of this week, you can do that. You can email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. Kyle Reichert emailed us, and just the subject line was pain. Just pain. I think that sums it up pretty well.
That's a good one.
Kyle said, I'm just so disappointed. I definitely recognize it's a long season. It's just one game. The thing is, this was supposed to be the thing that we overcame from last year. It just feels like more of the same. It doesn't seem like we're going to be able to cover the deep ball again, and I believe this will be an issue all season long again. I'd like to believe it will be different and we'll learn from it, but it's a bit harder to believe since we've all seen this before. Anyway, I just needed to express how I felt. This definitely hurts. Thanks, guys. So, what do you think? Is Kyle onto something? I mean, I think one point on that, like, I think it's just going to become more challenging because the secondary that we all talked about being, you know, much deeper this year suddenly isn't so deep. And you kind of covered that with some of the injuries, but now they're piling up. We'll see how long this groin injury lingers from Marlon Humphrey. Is he going to miss time? Is he able to play through it? You know, Pepe Williams goes down late in the game. You know, he seemed to be okay, walked off. But you know,
had an ankle was listed.
But sometimes an ankle, you know, the next day it swells up and you might miss a week or two, especially at that position. You already lost Kyle Fuller. Brandon Stevens didn't play. And so, like, you could be in a situation if, you know, you could be in a situation next week where you're looking at Jalen Armour-Davis, Daryl Worley, and Marcus Peters being your top three corners. And I don't know who would be the fourth in that situation. You know, we'll see. That's like, you know, hopefully those guys are all able to play and it's that's not an issue. But that to me is
injuries
are piling up.
That's like the – right. That's kind of the, you know, rolling it forward is like – I think once the Ravens, if the Ravens are at quote unquote full strength, which they won't be, I mean, they lost Kyle Fuller for the year, right? But like my feeling, and I certainly understand having doubts about this after what we saw yesterday, but I don't think that the Ravens secondary is going to finish 32nd in the league like it did last year or even close.
Yeah,
I just don't. I think that Marcus Williams is a stud. I mean, the guy had two interceptions, should have had three. The third one would have sealed the game, right?
Yeah.
The easiest of the day, bounced in his hands. Like, that dude has some serious range. He, I think, will do a good job of covering things over the top. To me, it wasn't like a failure on his part. I mean, again, we don't know what the play calls were. We're going to have to watch the all 22, but it didn't seem like there was, like, he took a bad angle or whatever, he didn't play it right over the top. Like, it just seemed like he wasn't in that position or had that assignment, right? So it wasn't like, I didn't see a failure on his part, right? Like, oh, the Ravens don't have good enough players back there to cover the deep ball, right?
That is the interesting thing. Like, you know, Marcus Williams had a terrific game, and then when you have a fourth quarter like that, you're like, well, where's the safety? Is the safety a problem? But I agree, it's not like he was, you didn't really see him chasing behind Tyreek Hill very often. Did he have any mishaps? I
mean, Marcus Peters looked like he was on an island.
Right. It didn't look like Marcus Williams was in the wrong place. It is so disappointing because, you know, he has his two interceptions, which were incredible plays, both of them. And then the gimme that just pops right into his hands that really would have sealed the game. Like, that to me is one of the things that's so frustrating about this game is there was kind of like, I don't know, three or four moments that really would have sealed it. Like, you had these.
Oh, I had five.
I counted them up
after
the Williams.
The Williams
would have been interception. The Isaiah Likely pass that
drop on third down
where there's a holding that was then picked up.
How about getting into the end zone on the 18 play drive? That one probably would have changed the game.
The fourth down, you know, the fumble there early in the game. The fourth and one.
The fourth and one at the 40 some
yard
line.
I had that one.
Late in the fourth quarter.
What's the fifth?
Convert on that one.
I had those four and three of those were late in the game, which is so frustrating because it's like if you had just been able to convert another first down, you probably get off the field. If you had just been able to come up with that interception, then you get the stop.
Here's the fifth one was the Gesicki touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, just a ridiculous catch. I thought that as soon as Tua let go of that ball, I was like, that's through the uprights. And Gesicki climbed the ladder. And then, like, not reviewing that was a surprise to me. Not, you know,
they showed an angle in the stadium for listeners who weren't there that looked like he was out. It looked like he was out from the stadium angle that they quickly showed. The broadcast angle didn't show that. I don't know if he was in or out. But I would have liked them to take another look at it. Like, what's the rush to confirm that?
They took their sweet time on the Lamar Jackson fumble, or not fumble, but goal line stop. That, to me, I'm still waiting to see a conclusive ball, you know, is not over the goal line angle. I'm still waiting for that. Justin Fields, let's talk about these goal line replays. I mean, I'm still looking for the conclusive one that didn't show that. Now, listeners told me, it looks like he's not in. Maybe he was. I couldn't see the ball conclusively. But after you spend what was seemed like a half an hour looking, dissecting every angle of that one to not even take a look at the Gesicki touchdown was surprising.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
I don't want to get off on a tangent, and I also don't want to sound like that guy that just always complains about the refs. But is there no DPI on Hail Marys? Is that just off the table? I mean, I understand there's always jockeying, but that one to Bateman, like when Lamar let go of that ball, and I see Bateman one-on-one right on the goal line, I'm like, they got a shot at this. If Bateman big boys this guy, he might have one. And then Bateman just got tossed. So DPI is just off the table. It's just off the table on Hail Marys, apparently. You can just throw everything around.
I think that I don't know. The level?
There's a higher bar. There's a higher bar. I understand that. But you can't just be tossing people.
Well, I can tell you, Bateman wasn't happy. That was right in front of me on the sideline at the end. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh, dude, it goes up in the air. And you get one-on-one coverage on a Hail Mary, which is, like, never happens. I don't know how else.
Exactly.
Like, the ball's in the air. You're like, whoa, one-on-one away from everybody else with your number one receiver. This is great.
Right. I'll take it.
And he was unhappy about that, clearly. He felt like it was pass interference.
Were you working the ref?
I was not working the ref.
Doing your job?
I was. Oh, you would have been. You
would. What do we send you down to the sideline?
You would have run
for?
Out there, throat, you know, kicked up dirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Nose to nose on Earl Weaver. Come on, man. What are we sending you down there for?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I get what you're saying. I honestly feel like
I don't want to belabor
yeah,
that.
On a Hail Mary,
I know.
You got to
tackle sour
the guy.
Grades,
you gotta, like, in my buck. You got to tackle the guy.
Sure. You got to tackle
just
the
have
guy.
To.
Well, I see what your strategy is going
to
be if I ever go up on a Hail Mary and flag football.
Oh, yeah, I'll cut your legs
you.
Out from under you. all right. So a couple other things on the defense to me that I think need to be pointed out.
Well, hold on. Sorry. Time out. Because I just want to go back also and say about the secondary and why I don't feel like it's, like, broken, right? Let's also remember that Marcus Williams' second interception was exactly what you want to see on taking away the deep balls, right? That was a bomb to Tyreek Hill down the sideline. He made the play, right? Made a tough catch, dragged the toe. So the Ravens are certainly capable of doing this. I think, to our point, it's about getting healthy. It's about having Marlon Humphrey healthy. It's about having Marcus Peters closer to 100%. And once that happens, like, the talent really.
But what if it doesn't
happen? If the Ravens start right. If it doesn't happen, I'm concerned. Oh, if the Ravens lose more corners or those guys aren't healthy, I am legit concerned. I think that if they are, I'm not hitting the panic button on the secondary. But that's an if. That's an if. Health is very important in this game, as we all know. Next year on my 53-man roster, I'm keeping a dozen.
Yeah, seriously.
Corners.
Seriously.
I'm just
on the
90, it right
it's 20 corners. 20 corners on the 90-man.
Yeah. On the 53, I'm saving a dozen.
So one thing that, you know, I think over two games that has been, especially this game, that I've been a little surprised by, you know, the pressure, there hasn't been the pressure that I expected up front on yesterday on Tua. He was sacked once, threw the ball 50 times. And, you know, I think when we did our season breakout or our season predictions, I think I had Odafe Oweh as breakout player. I can't remember if I definitely did, but I think I did. And he.
Well, we both, I think, have him as defensive MVP.
And he has, you know, no sacks through two games. I expected him to be more of a game wrecker than he has been early on. Now, it's only two games, and I think he's still got a ton of talent and can do that, but. You know, yesterday when Tua is dropping back there and has time to heave the ball deep to Tyreek Hill, I just would expect more pressure in his face, especially on some situations where they were bringing heat. You know, like one thing Tyreek Hill said was that, you know, on his, I think it was his second touchdown when the Ravens were up 14, it was a cover zero blitz. That's what he saw. And, you know, they're still not getting to him. And so when you're bringing pressure in those situations and you're not getting to them, that's the bad combo. I don't know. What's your level of concern on the pass rush right now? Ravens are super thin outside linebacker. They lost Steven Means. And they're, you know, they seem to not be getting the type of pressure from that spot that you would hope.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com, or download the app today.
Yeah, I'm concerned about that, you know, and I think another point to bring up in that regard is the Ravens have faced two backup right tackles the past 2 weeks, right? And so you would especially think, all right, you know, like both games I went into kind of licking my chops saying, here we go, he's going to just ball out on these dudes, and we haven't seen it. And so that is concerning. I'd have to go back and really kind of watch the tape from this to see whether the Dolphins were max protecting and saying, Tyreek's fast enough, whatever. As long as we max protect and give Tua a little bit of time, that guy will get behind anybody, right? And so I have to see that. I mean, I talked to Odafe last week, and he talked about how that was the most double teams he's ever seen and all that stuff, which could very well be the case, right? But here's kind of a counterpoint is everybody knows Von Miller is the Bills' best pass rusher. Everybody knows, you know, Joey Bosa and TJ Watt, and those guys are the best pass rushers on their teams. And they're still getting sacks, right? So, like, you when you have 50 opportunities, you know, with Tua throwing the ball that much, you think the Ravens would get more pressure than they did. And part of the problem yesterday also was they didn't have the same amount of interior pressure that they got in week one against the Jets. You know, we didn't see that kind of pass rush up the middle to really force him backwards, or we didn't see Tua have to step up in the pocket from the outside rush. He just wasn't very effective. I mean, he got sacked once and took one other quarterback hit. And so I thought that was going to be a key to this game in limiting Tua and Jalen, or not Tua, Tyreek and Jalen Waddle's big plays was, well, if Tua is just feeling that heat right up in his face, he's going to be wanting to get this ball out fast. That's what he really wants to do. And you know, they can kind of limit those big plays in that way, right? Like the secondary and the pass rush go hand in hand. And so, you know, a lot of people obviously are talking about the breakdowns in the secondary, but I think that this pass rush does certainly shoulder some of that burden because Tua just had way too much time to be back there and launching bombs.
I totally agree. So we want fans to know that the sports landscape is always changing, and this week is no different. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, and it still has daily fantasy contests running for those who are looking to have skin in the game. So this is simple. Every player has a salary associated with drafting them. You assemble a lineup of players. Then you try to stay under the salary cap, and you sit back and you watch your points pile up. So what you can do, you download the DraftKings app today, and you sign up using the code FLOCK. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. Again, the code is FLOCK, only at DraftKings. So, all right, another email I want to get here, because it kind of speaks to some of these issues that we're talking about, both at outside linebacker and in the secondary. Owen liked the email to us at the lounge at ravens.nfl.net. After a heartbreaking loss,
Owen, by the way, has to get an Isaiah Likely jersey, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
That just has to
you
happen.
Have to. He signed his email, Owen, the other Likely.
I was calling Isaiah Likely Owen. It got stuck in my head for about a solid week, and I kept just referring to him as Owen. Like, and I was like, oh, this is going to linger. But I think I've wiped it clean. We'll see if this email starts to back up again.
Here we go. He says, after a heartbreaking loss at home, there's a lot of skepticism surrounding what was predicted to be a top five defense. With the injuries piling up, do you think the Ravens will start looking at bringing in a veteran free agent like Joe Hayden or Jason Pierre-Paul?
Oof. I mean, definitely a fair question. Yeah, I think it depends on how bad these injuries are. You know, how bad does Marlon's groin feel this week?
The Jason Pierre-Paul one to me, he was reportedly in for a visit. There was a lot of right. smoke there during the offseason, and it never happened. I don't know why. I don't know if the Ravens didn't like what they saw, if he didn't like what he saw, or if the money just didn't work out. I have no idea. But they're so thin at outside linebacker. Like, if I was going to pick one, it might be there. Especially with now you lose Steven Means, you know, who was a. It's like,
yeah.
That might be the now. You hope that kind of reinforcements are on the way with Tyus Bowser eventually coming back, and then later in the year David Ajabo, but. What can you expect from those guys right when they come back? I don't know.
Well, Malik Harrison seems like he's just going to convert full-time to outside linebacker. He actually played pretty well.
But he doesn't give you pass rush.
I thought Malik had a solid game. That is
I think he's been – I've liked him at outside linebacker from a run game standpoint, but not as a pass rusher. So, I don't know. If you can make the money work out on a Jason Pierre-Paul, you know
– He's kind of an interesting outside linebacker. He's like a D-end more than a – like, you know what I mean? Than – Yeah, I don't know. I mean, good player. I'd take a little pass rush juice. I don't know what the money looks like.
All right, so you want to flip it over and talk offense a little bit here?
Well, can I just point to one other thing?
Go for it.
And on the defense, and I think that's, you know, the Ravens just need they had three rookie DBs that played over 50%, and Kyle Hamilton, I think they're going to need a little bit more from him early on so far. I mean, we kind of talked about Odafe. Kyle Hamilton played 54% of the snaps yesterday, and after the game talked about how, you know, there were definitely some mistakes out there. That's somebody that I think that they're going to need to step up here and play, make some more plays, you know, and limit some of these mistakes. And he's got the talent. Certainly, he's a kid that studies hard, works hard, and I think that he's somebody also that could, you know, help them get a little pass rush. You know, he's a jack of all trades. I think that him stepping up could also really help kind of turn around the secondary.
Yeah, I think it's tough to tell kind of where breakdowns are happening in the secondary when you don't know the play call and all the assignments. You know, there was lots of conversations, and Kyle Hamilton was right in the middle of those conversations after those two long touchdowns. And, you know, again, I don't know what the breakdown was, but, you know, I agree. I think that they want to see him make some more plays. I've liked the way he's come up and defended, you know, kind of at the line of scrimmage. He had a big hit yesterday on a pass in the flat for a breakup. So there's been flashes.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
But I do think that they could probably use a little more out of him.
And one other point I want to make is this defense has played a lot of snaps, and I don't know if fatigue or they just got gas late in this game, but it's kind of the flip side of the fast strike big play offense is, well, they're not and the inability to run the ball – is the offense is not really keeping the ball for very long. Time of possession is kind of out of whack, which is leading to a lot of plays for the defense. I mean, they put, 80-some against the Jets, right? And yesterday, 71 defensive plays. Like, especially a secondary that has injuries kind of piling up, that's just a lot of plays. I mean, the Dolphins possess the ball 34, almost 35 minutes to the Ravens 25 minutes. That's a big discrepancy.
Totally.
Right. And so I don't know how gassed they were in the fourth quarter or whether that was another factor.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And that kind of that's a natural transition to the offense because, you know, it's hard to rag on the offense too much on a day where you score 35 points. But I think the concern with the offense is something that you and I did discuss
Well, 38 points. But yeah.
A concern with the offense is something that you and I talked about coming into the season is the lack of the ability to run the football. Now, you look at the run total and you're like, hey, not too bad. But that's because you got a 79-yard run from your quarterback. The called run game with the running backs is just completely ineffective through two games. It's very reminiscent of last year. Kenyon Drake, 6 carries, 8 yards. Mike Davis, 5 carries, 4 yards. You know, those two guys, 11 carries for 12 yards.
Well, it's 14 for 28. The Ravens running backs, 14 for 28 yards, 2 yards a pop. Not going to do it. Mark Andrews had 1 carry for 3 yards, so he was over the two yards per carry mark. Pat Ricard had 1 for 5. Right. So the running backs are behind the fullback and the tight end in yards per carry yesterday.
The Ravens had a chance to put the game away. If they could run the ball yesterday, and credit to the Dolphins for, like, a lot of times that's when teams just kind of lay down and they just, game's over, down 21 points in the fourth quarter, and they didn't do it. But if you can run the ball and pick up 2 or 3 first downs, then that game would have been over. But they couldn't do it. And there were multiple situations yesterday where the Ravens just needed a yard or two, and they couldn't do it. And that, to me, was like,
short yardage was completely
ineffective. Completely ineffective.
Really, really bad.
Whether it's
around
the goal line, you know, or the fourth down, you know, situation. So that you need to be able to run the football to pick up a yard. Like, that just has to happen. In the Greg Roman offense, you have to be able to pick up a yard.
The Ravens have traditionally been really good in that scenario, right? You go, you know, quarterback power is pretty reliable.
Yeah. Even that wasn't working.
To not be able to get that doomed the Ravens. I mean, it took 7 points off the board. The Ravens had 5 cracks at the goal line on their first offensive drive. 5 cracks at it from inside the 5-yard line. You have to be able to get that in. You know, now, should they have mixed in a little something else instead of kind of hammering with the run game? Sure, that's fair to say. Maybe they should have tried to work in a pass there. Worked pretty well on the Mark Andrews 1 yarder where he was wide open and Lamar Jackson floated it to him, right? But besides that, execution wasn't there either. And I think, to me, the problem is, you know, you've got guys that just aren't getting moved off the line of scrimmage. They're just not moving people up front. Just not. And the concerning thing to me, you know, when we're talking about big concerns coming out of this game, I think there's really two and then a third, right? The big one, obviously, is the secondary. And then you have the run game and the pass rush. I think if I'm ranking my concern levels right now with the three of those trouble spots, I'm putting the run game at the top. I'm putting run game, secondary, pass rush in that order. And my concern with the run game is this. It's going to get better when J.K. Dobbins is on the field, no doubt. J.K. is a baller, right? That will help. And Ronnie Stanley, right? But really, your other 4 starting offensive linemen are in place, right? And your tight end, your blocking tight end, which Nick Boyle's been a healthy scratch so far, which is, you know, not what we expected, right? So is he going to be all of a sudden back to the dominant self that he was before? I don't know. You know, the Ravens don't feel like he's there yet, obviously, or they would have activated him. And so, like, if you're talking about the other 4 offensive linemen and you're blocking tight end, those pieces are there. And they can certainly gel and improve and all that stuff. But, like, it's not like the secondary where you have these injuries and guys hobbled and you're already to your backups, really. And so, you know, they're not going to run off the left side every single time when Ronnie Stanley gets back.
Yeah.
You know, the pass protection has been good. Yeah. I think that was really played a role in Lamar Jackson having a really good day. But the run blocking has been a problem so far, which is surprising. The thing that makes me not, you know, hitting the panic button is that this is a Greg Roman offense. And Greg Roman's pretty good at scheming out the run game. And so I give him the benefit of the doubt to kind of figure this out. But if they can't run the ball, trouble. It's trouble.
Yeah, totally. If I were doing those that top three, I would put the secondary, then the run game, then the pass rush.
That's all hinges on the health.
Yeah, I think with the run game, yes, I think J.K. Dobbins will make a difference. But, you know, the Ravens have been cautious and slow in his recovery. So when he returns, like, he's not going to carry the ball 20 times. Like, what's his first week back look like? 10 carries? Right. 7 carries?
Right.
And then, so then you're still counting on the other running backs. You know, when does Ronnie Stanley get on the field? That's a great unknown. When he does get on the field, is he 100% right away? I don't know. So right. Like, those are questions that I still have. And I agree with you. Like, Greg Roman's track record says that the Ravens are going to be able to run the ball, that he'll be able to scheme up enough, you know, action in the run game to have success. But through two games, it's been slow going. But again, it's hard for me to rag on the offense too much on a day where you put up 38 points. And honestly, Lamar Jackson was excellent. Like, that's to me one of the real like disappointments. And we'll read the last email here. This is from Patrick at the lounge at ravens.nfl.net. He says, sad and unacceptable. Bateman, Jackson, and Williams all had borderline career days, which amounted to a big L. We failed at situational football execution when it was needed most. This is a total team loss. So
I ain't putting this one on Lamar.
No, but that's the thing.
Subtract him from the total team loss. But,
yeah. That's the thing. Lamar was excellent. He just had such a good day. And as I mentioned, it was a party inside M&T Bank Stadium after that long touchdown, and the MVP chants were raining down. And it was like, I thought that we were going to spend this podcast as a Size Them Up Monday talking about where Lamar is in the MVP early race, because it was that kind of a showing from him. I thought he was excellent in the pocket. He was patient. He allowed plays to open up. He trusted his offensive line. He was sharp with the football. He delivered it on the money. Yep. Like,
accurate,
everything.
He flexed the arm strength, I thought, on several throws. It's like,
and then he showed he still got the wheels with the 79-yard touchdown. I think he was kind of baiting the corner on that. Like, can you get me? Nah, you can't. You can't. I'll slip.
And then the little
flip. Of course. I mean, that was just the cherry on top of that play. But he just was excellent. And so it's just so disappointing that, like, you have a game like that where he was so good and it's spoiled.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I'll say this, and I wrote this in the breakdown after the game. If Lamar Jackson keeps playing like that, the Ravens are going to be really tough to beat no matter what else happens around him. Right? I mean, it's hard to lose a game when your quarterback plays like that. Like, I mean, he just carried the offense. And so, like, that's the thing where I come away not feeling like garbage from this game. Is I'm like, man, you know, the most important position on the field is quarterback, and Lamar Jackson is looking nice, right? And so if he's going to play at this level all season long, you're going to see a lot of wins, just point blank. You're just going to see a lot of wins. And so that was really, really encouraging to see from him. And also, you know, I think there was, talking about his 79-yard touchdown run, there was chatter about, oh, does the increased weight slow him down a little bit in the long speed? Still moving, right? And so that was great to see. I mean, yeah, just an all-timer day for Lamar Jackson. The Miami blitz tried it early on, quickly recognized it, got the ball to Rashad Bateman. He beats him for a 17-yard gain. I mean, he snapped the blitz over his knee, you know, that whole blitz puzzle. It was a non-factor. And something we talked a lot about. So kudos to Lamar. He deserves everything coming out of this game. You know, just all the props in the world. So awesome game by him. And Bateman, let's talk about that too.
Last thing on Lamar.
Yeah.
As Lamar.
Oh, yeah.
as the Ravens have this drive here and their you know, third quarter drive, you see Cliff get a piece of chocolate cake from the kit.
Well, yeah. Do you want me
I'll from the tell cafeteria? And I just Cliff feel comes. You salivating next to me. And so, listeners, me, Cliff, and Ryan all sit next to each other in the press box, and you couldn't help yourself. And you're asking all the questions about the cake. How is it? It looks good. What do you think? And then you jump up and you go to get your piece of cake, and then you miss the most exciting play of the game. You're gone.
I come back. I come back, and the stadium's rocking. What I miss? Yeah, that cake wasn't worth it. Was not worth it.
Yeah,
good cake, but not worth
that. What did you
think
of just the experience of seeing that Lamar Jackson touchdown live and in person with your own two eyes?
I did watch it on TV.
Yeah, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. Well, that's the equivalent of me missing the Jacoby Jones kickoff return at the Super Bowl.
Oh my. That's I mean, 100 times worse. Yeah. Were you at the getting food?
I think I was getting food. Yeah, I think I was in the hot dog line at the
Super Bowl. Wow. That's an all-timer. You'll live with that for the rest of your life.
All right. Before we kind of wrap up the conversation here, we want to make sure our listeners know about our friends at Campbell's Chunky, and the Ravens and Campbell's Chunky Soup are taking on food insecurity in our community. For every regular season defensive tackle by the Ravens, Campbell's Chunky will donate 25 Campbell's products to a local Baltimore feeding affiliate, up to 25,000 items. For more details, visit ChunkySacksHunger.com. Campbell's Chunky Soup is a proud partner of the Baltimore Ravens. Also, we're calling all snacks and sports fans to make your game days even more satisfying by entering the...
I'm here.
You're in.
I'm answering
you,
the call.
You have clearly...
Is cake involved?
It's not cake. It's snacks. The cake is more of a dessert.
I'm still
you're in.
Make
your game days even more satisfying by entering the Frito-Lay Snack and Snaps series on DraftKings. Play for free for your shot at $120,000 in total cash prizes during weeks 1 through 6 of the football season. So get your skin in the game courtesy of Frito-Lay at DraftKings.com/Frito-Lay.
So I wanted to shout out Rashad Bateman also. I mean, that's one takeaway here from the first 2 weeks is Rashad Bateman is pretty darn good. You know, and the wide receivers, Devin Duvernay, obviously as a returner, I mean, golly, that was just awesome. That was just awesome. Taking the opening kickoff back for a touchdown, a great, great moment. And Bateman, I mean, here's the big thing that I see with Rashad Bateman that adds another layer to this offense is the run after catch ability, right? I mean, just a lot different than what we saw from Marquise Brown, you know, point blank, right? And I think that threat obviously takes a slant to the house. You see the speed, everything on that 75-yard touchdown, but that gives the Ravens, I think, an even more dynamic weapon with their top receiver is Bateman's ability to pick up yards after the catch.
Yeah, I mean, Bateman's been excellent. I think that, you know, the question, that's been one of the real bright spots early on is, you know, all the receiver chatter during the offseason, and it's been answered. Duvernay has taken a step. Hopefully that, you know, he was ruled out yesterday with a concussion. Hopefully that's not something that lingers because, you know, he's such a dynamic player. So Bateman's taken a step. He looks like, you know, a number one wide receiver. You know, he burns Xavier Howard for that big touchdown. So, like, he's making plays, both big plays and, you know, reliable chain-moving type plays. So he looks like the total package. Yep. Duvernay's taken a step. Mark Andrews is still obviously the same. So that's been a real positive, I think, early on is the play of the receiving corps.
Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Lisa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values. Premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, big picture here, big picture, that's a loss that really stings, but it's week two, right? And you hope that the Ravens at the end of the year aren't in a position battling for a playoff spot where they look back on this one and the Dolphins are right there in the playoff mix and you say, ugh, if we had only sealed that week two win, like, we'd be in. Or whatever, it would be a lot better shape, right? We would have gotten that home field advantage, whatever it is. You really hope that that's not the case. But it's week two. Yeah. And I really, like, big picture, I have faith, because I've seen it a million times with this team, in John Harbaugh and these coaches and these players to shake this off and rebound. And it's just a mistake that I think people make all the time in the media NFL business, is extrapolating too much from one game to the next. Things just wildly change in the NFL all the time, all the time. And I just think of course, there are some things that you can take over and that carry over and whatnot, but, like, get a multiple game trend. Let's look for trends, right? One game oftentimes in the NFL is just an outlier. And that's honestly how I see the secondary thing, barring the injuries. As I said, again, if Marlon Humphrey's out for 4 weeks, I retract that statement, right? Not saying he's going to be whatever. Right. But barring the injuries, like, I think that's an outlier performance from the secondary. I think the Ravens will shake this off and be just fine. They've had other bad losses early in the season. Week four against the Browns in 2019. Remember that one where Nick Chubb ran for like 500 yards? You know, it was a blowout loss. And then the Ravens reel off whatever it was.
12 in a row.
You know, 12 straight wins.
No, totally. Exactly. Totally. I'm with you on that. I think that there's definitely. This isn't just sugarcoating it. I mean, that one stung, and it's gonna sting all week long. It's far too early to say this is gonna be doom them for the season or anything like that. And also, I think that, you know, that we can look back on that and say, like, you know, it could be a great season, just like it was in 19, where you had that early season loss to the Browns, and you say, man, you know, that kind of, you figure some things out early, and then you got hot.
Right.
So.
And this one hurts. This one hurts, but it's a whole lot better than getting smoked, than getting just blown out.
Is it? That's always the debate. That's always the debate. Would you rather lose by one?
Yes.
Or would you rather get blown out?
Emotionally, right? Like, you're getting blown out, it doesn't have the emotional sting, right? But that's a sign of cancer. You get blown out, you got some cancerous, you know, cancer in the body. Right? That. If you get stung, this is a bee sting. This is a wasp. What's the worst bee sting that you get?
I don't
know. Hornet.
This is a hornet. I don't know if I agree.
Right? That one, rub some dirt on it, bounce back.
I don't know
back.
If I agree.
Right? That's what this one is.
I don't know if I agree with your the sentiment there, but I do think that this is one that the Ravens can certainly recover from. You know, but they're going to have to figure some things out. So we're going to work. If you didn't realize this, we did have a video, our first ever video podcast. We launched that last week. Marlon Humphrey was our first guest. So those are going to air every week on YouTube and on our app, our website. So we're going to do another one later this week with a guest. So this audio version of the Monday Morning Reaction podcast is just going to be audio. And then the one with the player interview later in the week is going to be on video. So make sure you check that out later this week. Keep those emails coming to thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.